Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Betty Davis, Ann Baxter, Reginald Gardner, and Gary Merrill in All About Eve. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keel.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. While I was directing plays on the New York stage, I had a first-hand opportunity to watch the frantic struggle of young actresses to attain stardom in the theater. But none that I knew, at least, used the tactics of the young woman in our play tonight, All About Eve. I first read of Eve's unorthodox behavior in a magazine story by Mary Orr, entitled The Wisdom of Eve, and I was delighted to see 20th Century Fox turn it into the Academy Award-winning picture of 1950. A portion of this honor may be attributed to the unforgettable performances of Betty Davis, Ann Baxter, and Gary Merrill. We're very gratified to present them tonight in their original roles, starting with Reginald Gardner as the malicious critic. I'm sure if we really knew all about Eve, we'd discover Lux Flakes in her household. You know, Lux Flakes are a must for all discriminating women who demand gentle, safer washing care. Now, All About Eve, starring Betty Davis as Margot, Ann Baxter as Eve, Reginald Gardner as Addison DeWitt, and Gary Merrill as Bill. To those of the New York theater, no other tribute, critical acclaim, or glorification can approach the heights of recognition represented in the Sarah Siddons Award for Distinguished Achievement. A moment ago, this most cherished honor came to a young actress named Eve Harrington. Among the many eminent personalities present is the noted critic, Addison DeWitt.
Yes, this is Eve's hour. Beautiful, radiant, poised, she is about to make her speech of acceptance. The hall rings with applause and bravos. Everyone is looking at Eve, all except Karen Richards. Karen's made a little pile of crumbs on the tablecloth. She's patting it with a spoon, staring at it absently. I wonder what Karen Richards is thinking about.
Eve Harrington. It seems a lifetime ago, that rainy night in October. I hurried down the alley to the stage door. But where was she? Strange. I'd become so accustomed to seeing her here night after night, I found myself looking for a girl I'd never spoken to, wondering where she... Oh, there you are. Well, it seemed odd suddenly you're not being here. After all, six nights a week for weeks, watching Margot Channing enter and leave a theater.
I hope you don't mind my speaking to you. It took every bit of courage I could raise.
To speak to a playwright's wife? I'm the lowest form of celebrity.
You're Margot Channing's best friend. You and your husband are always with her.
Tell me, what do you do in between the time Margot goes in the theater and comes out? Just huddle and wait?
Oh, no. I see the play.
See the play? You mean you've seen every performance?
Yes.
Well, apart from everything else, don't you find it expensive?
Standing doesn't cost much. I manage.
Well, you're coming with me, young lady. I'm going to take you to Margot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. She's got to meet you.
Oh, no, no. I'd be imposing on her. I'd be just another tongue-tied, gushing fan.
There isn't another like you. There couldn't be. Oh, by the way, what's your name?
Eve. Eve Harrington.
Margot was in her dressing room. Lloyd, my husband, was with her, and of course, Bertie, Margot's maid.
Come on in, Karen. Margot's just been interviewed by a lady reporter from the South.
And the minute it gets printed, they're going to fire on Gettysburg all over again.
It was Fort Sumter they fired on. Where's my cold cream? Lloyd, honey, be a playwright with guts. Write me a play about a nice, normal woman who just shoots her husband.
I find these wisecracks increasingly less funny, Margot. Aged in Wood happens to be a fine and distinguished play.
That's my loyal little woman.
Oh, relax, kid. It's just me and my big mouth.
Well, it's just that you get me so mad sometimes. Of all the women in the world, there's nothing to complain about.
Ain't it the truth?
Yes, it is. You're talented, famous, wealthy. People waiting around night after night just to see you, even in the rain.
Orthograph fiends, little bees.
They're your fans, your audience.
They're nobody's audience. They never see a play or a movie, even. They're never indoors long enough.
Well, there's one indoors right now. I brought her back to see you.
You've what?
Yes, she's just outside the door.
Birdie.
Yeah?
The heave-ho.
Oh, now you can't put her out, Margot. She worships you. You must have spotted her by now. She's always there.
Oh, I know. The mousy one with the trench coat and the funny hat.
Yes. Come in, Eve. Margot, this is Eve Harrington.
How do you do, my dear?
Oh, brother.
Hello, Miss Channing.
My husband.
Hello, Miss Harrington.
How do you do, Mr. Richards?
And this is my dear friend and companion, Miss Bertie Coonan.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother, what?
When she gets like this, all of a sudden she's playing Hamlet's mother.
I'm sure you must have things to do in the bathroom, Bertie, dear.
If I haven't, I'll find something till you get normal.
Dear Bertie.
I was just telling Margot and Lloyd how often you've seen the play.
Yes, every performance.
Well, then, am I safe in assuming that you like it?
I'd like anything Miss Channing played in.
Would you really? How sweet.
Your new play is for Miss Channing, too, isn't it?
Oh, how did you hear about it?
Oh, there was an item in Addison DeWitt's column. I like the title. Footsteps on the Ceiling.
Oh, now let's get back to this one. Every performance, hmm? Why?
Yes, there are other plays.
Not with you in them. Not by Mr. Richards.
But you must have friends, a home, family.
No. Tell us about it, Eve. If I only knew how.
Try.
Well, it started with a play before this one.
Remember? Did you see it here in New York?
San Francisco. The most important night of my life until now. I found myself going the next night. And the next, and the next. And then when the show went east, I went east.
Eve, why don't you start at the beginning?
Oh, I couldn't possibly interest you.
Now, please.
Well, I guess it started back home, Wisconsin, that is. There was just Mom and Dad and me. Farmers were poor in those days, so I quit school and became a secretary in a brewery. Wasn't much fun, but it helped at home. There was a little theater group there, like a drop of rain on the desert. That's where I met Eddie. We played Lillian three times. Oh, I was awful. When the war came, we got married. Eddie was in the Air Force. They sent him to the South Pacific. And then a letter arrived. Eddie had a leave coming up, and I went to San Francisco to meet him. But Eddie wasn't there. Just a telegram. Say Eddie wasn't coming at all. But Eddie was dead. I found a job and his insurance helped. And there were theaters in San Francisco. And then one night, Margot Channing came to play in Remembrance. And, well, here I am.
What a story. Everything but the bloodhound snapping at her rear end.
There are some human experiences, Birdie, that even an ex-fifth-rate vaudevillian should understand and respect. I want to apologize for Birdie.
Sorry, it's just my way of talking.
You didn't hurt my feelings, Miss Coonan.
Call me Birdie. Oh, hi, dear Mr. Sampson.
Hi, Birdie. For your information, Margot, my plane takes off in 47 minutes. And how do I find you? Not ready yet and looking like a junkyard.
Thank you so much.
Bill, this
the airlines have clocks even if you haven't. I start shooting a week from Monday.
Bill.
I'm a junkyard.
Bill, this is Eve Harrington.
Hi. My wonderful junkyard. The mystery and dreams you find in a junkyard. Oh, hello. What's your name?
Eve. Eve Harrington. You've already met.
Huh? Where?
Oh, Eve, you're not going.
I think I'd better... It's been... I can hardly find the words to say how it's been. Thank you.
No, stick around. Tell you what, we'll put Stanislavski on his plane, you and I, and then go somewhere and talk.
Well, if I'm not in the way...
I'll shower and dress. I won't be a minute.
Yes, Bill was going to Hollywood to direct a picture. I can't remember why Lloyd and I couldn't go to the airport with them, but I do remember that as we left, Eve started talking to Bill.
So you're going to Hollywood, Mr. Sampson?
Just for one picture. Why?
I just wondered.
Just wondered what?
Why you'd want to go out there. I mean, well, when a man's the best and most successful young director in the theater...
The theater? What book of rules says the theater exists only in New York? Listen, Junior, and learn.
Yes.
Do you want to know what the theater is? A flea circus. Also opera, rodeos, carnivals, ballets, Indian tribal dances, Punch and Judy, a one-man band. Wherever there's magic and make-believe in an audience, there's theater. From Donald Duck to Eleanor Aduza, all theater. You don't understand them all. You don't like them all. Why should you? The theater's for everybody, you included, but not exclusively. So don't approve or disapprove. It may not be your theater, but it's theater for somebody, somewhere.
I just asked a simple question.
And I shot my mouth off. Nothing personal, Junior. Margot, I'm leaving here in exactly 3 seconds.
So am I, if I can find my coat.
It's right where you left it.
Oh.
Any messages for Tyrone Power, Bertie?
Yeah, give him my phone number.
You got the key, Bertie.
I ain't forgot it yet.
I'll see you at home in an hour. Eve, where are you going?
You don't really want me tagging along?
Now, don't be silly. This way. It's quicker if we cut across the city. Where is she, Bill? What happened to Eve?
She's at the desk picking up my tickets. She said we had so little time to be together that...
She's quite a girl. I'd forgotten they grew that way anymore.
Yes, that lack of pretense. That strange sort of understanding.
Isn't it silly? Suddenly I've developed a big protective feeling toward her. A lamb loose in our big stone jungle. Bill, take care of yourself out there.
I understand they have the Indians pretty well in hand.
Don't get stuck on some glamour puss.
I'll try.
You're a setup for some gorgeous, wide-eyed young babe.
Now, how childish are you going to get before you stop it?
I don't want to be childish. I'd settle for just a few years.
And cut that out right now.
Am I going to lose you, Bill? Am I?
As of this moment, you're 6 years old.
Everything's ready, Mr. Sampson.
Hmm? Oh, well, thanks, Eve.
Your ticket. They'd like you to get it right on the plane.
You've been very helpful. Good luck.
Goodbye, Mr. Sampson.
Knit me a muffler, Margot.
Kiss me, Bill. Call me when you get in.
On the hour.
Hey, Junior, keep your eye on her. She's a loose lamb in a jungle.
That same night we went for Eve's things, her few pitiful possessions, and she moved into the little guest room. Eve became my sister, lawyer, mother, friend, psychiatrist, and cop. Her quiet efficiency, her constant anticipation of my wishes drove Bertie mad. I loved it. Yes, the honeymoon was on. Early one morning, the telephone rang. I was half groggy with sleep. The operator made no sense to me at all.
We are ready with your call to Beverly Hills, California.
Where? What call?
We are ready with a call you placed for 12 midnight, California time, to Mr. William Sampson in Beverly Hills. Go ahead, please.
Margot, what a wonderful surprise. What a thoughtful, ever-loving thing to do.
Bill, have I gone crazy, Bill?
You're my girl, aren't you?
That I am.
Then you're crazy.
Oh. When are you coming back?
In a week. Well, I'm waiting. When are you going to say it?
Oh, now, Bill, you know how much I do, but over a phone. Now, really, that's kid stuff.
Kid stuff or not, it doesn't happen every day, and if you won't say it, then you can sing it.
Sing it?
Sure, like the Western Union boys used to do.
Bill, it's your birthday.
And who remembered it? Who was there on the dot at 12 midnight?
Happy birthday, darling.
Well, the reading could have been better, but you said it. Hey, I get a party, don't I?
Of course, birthday and coming home. Who'll I ask?
Well, it's no secret. I know all about the party. Eve wrote me.
Eve? She did?
Sure, she hasn't missed a week since I left. But you know all about that. You probably tell her what to write. But tell me, how is Eve, okay?
Okay.
I love you.
I'll check with Eve.
Hmm?
I love you, too. Good night, darling. I thought a lot about that phone call. In the morning when Bertie came in with my breakfast.
Well, that's a silly question to ask me.
All I said was, you don't like Eve, do you?
You want an argument or an answer?
I'd like an answer.
No.
Why not?
Now, you want an argument.
Well, she's loyal and efficient.
Like an agent with only one client.
She thinks only of me, doesn't she?
I'll say.
How do you mean that?
Well, I'll tell you how. Like she's studying you. Like you was a book or a play or a set of blueprints. How you walk, talk, eat, think, sleep.
I'm sure that's very flattering, Bertie, and I'm also
good morning.
Sure.
Good morning, Eve.
I'm going downtown now, Miss Channing. Is there anything else you've thought of?
Well, there's that script to take back to the guild.
I've got it.
And those checks for the income tax man.
Right in this envelope.
It seems I can't think of a thing you haven't thought of.
That's my job, Miss Channing.
Eve, by any chance, did you place a call for me to Bill Sampson for Midnight California Time?
Oh, golly, I forgot to tell you.
Yes, dear. You forgot all about it.
Well, I was sure you'd want to, of course, being his birthday. And you've been so busy.
It was very thoughtful of you, Eve.
Mr. Sampson's birthday. I couldn't forget that. You'd never forgive me. As a matter of fact, I sent him a telegram myself.
Did you say something, Birdie?
Who said something?
Don't.
Before we return with Act Two of All About Eve, here's our producer, William Keeley, with his movie news of the week.
And good news. Theodore Dreiser's much-discussed novel of the 20s, An American Tragedy, has been made into a distinguished motion picture, brought up to date in time and settings by Paramount under the title A Place in the Sun. The superb cast, Montgomery Clift, Elizabeth Taylor, and Shelley Winters. And the critics seem to agree that all three give the best performances of their careers. The story, told with mounting suspense, concerns a poor boy played by Montgomery Clift who finds comfort in a lonely factory girl, Shelley Winters. But as he progresses to wealth and success, he falls in love with Elizabeth Taylor and aspires to the social set of which he's a part. His unwillingness to marry Shelley when she needs him involves him in the famous boating accident that leads to his downfall. A Place in the Sun definitely deserves a place on your list of films to see.
The cast alone, Bill, is a triple threat.
And Elizabeth Taylor is a wealthy society girl, wears such gorgeous clothes. For instance, Edith Head, Paramount's well-known designer, created a stunning, luxable costume for the important scene at the lake. It's white organdy with layers of organdy petticoats to give it that doll-waisted look so smart this season. It was luxed again and again, stayed just as lovely as new.
Shelley Winters' wardrobe looks extra drab by comparison.
Well, she plans to make up for it on her trip to Paris. She's counting on a shopping spree, collecting exquisite handmade slips and nighties and negligees. And if I know Shelley, she took several boxes of luxe in her luggage to make sure her things get the safest possible care.
Scores of famous Hollywood screen stars say there's nothing like new luxe with color freshener. It's perfect for all kinds of lingerie. Silks, rayons, nylons, and fine cottons. White stayed dazzling white as new. Delicate colors more brilliant than ever before.
No wonder makers of lingerie advise Lux 33 to 1.
Why don't you get a big box of new Lux tomorrow? Give your nice things that nice as new Lux look. Now here's your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Act Two of All About Eve, starring Betty Davis as Margot, Ann Baxter as Eve, Reginald Gardner as Addison DeWitt, and Gary Merrill as Bill.
Bill's welcome home birthday party. A night to go down in history. Even before it started, I could smell disaster in the air. When I went down the stairs, I was surprised to find that Bill had already arrived.
Well, looks like I'm going to have a very fancy party.
I thought you were going to be late. How long have you been here?
Oh, just a few minutes. I ran into Eve. She seems so interested in Hollywood.
She's a girl of so many interests.
That's a pretty rare quality these days.
A girl of so many rare qualities.
So she seems.
So you've pointed out so often. So many qualities so often. And so young. So young and so fair.
I can't believe you're making this up. It sounds like something out of an old Clyde Fitch play.
Clyde Fitch, though you may not think so, was well before my time.
Well, I've always denied the legend that you were in Our American Cousin the night Lincoln was shot.
I don't think that's funny.
Of course it's funny. Whipping yourself into a jealous froth because I spent 10 minutes with a stage-struck kid.
Stage-struck kid. She's a young lady of quality. And I'll have you know I am fed up with both the young lady and her quality. Studying me as if I were a play or a blueprint. How I walk, talk, think, act, sleep. It so happens there are particular aspects of my life to which I would like to maintain sole and exclusive rights and privileges.
For instance, what?
For instance, you.
Darling, this is my cue to take you in my arms and reassure you. But I'm not going to. I'm too mad.
Guilty.
Mad. Darling, there are certain characteristics for which you are famous, on stage and off. I love you for some of them and in spite of others. They are part of your equipment for getting along in what is laughingly called our environment. You have to keep your teeth sharp. All right. But I will not have you sharpen them on me or on Eve.
What about her teeth? What about her fangs?
She hasn't cut them yet and you know it. Eve Harrington has never indicated anything to me but her adoration for you and her happiness at our being in love. And to intimate anything else spells a paranoiac insecurity that you should be ashamed of.
Cut, printed. What happens in the next reel? Do I get dragged off screaming to the snake pit?
Excuse me, Miss Channing.
Oh. Yes, Eve.
The hors d'oeuvres are here. Is there anything else I can do?
Yes, thank you. I'd like a martini. A very dry and very double.
I've been looking for you, Margot. Karen and I have to run along. It's been a swell party.
Where's Karen Lloyd? Upstairs.
Yes, getting her coat, I think.
How's the new play coming along?
Footsteps on the ceiling? Oh, all right, I guess.
And the girl? Is she still 20?
No, 20-ish. It's not important.
Don't you think it's about time it became important?
Margot, you haven't got any age.
Margot Channing is ageless. Spoken like a press agent. Lloyd, I'm not 20. I'm not 30. 3 months ago, I was 40 years old. 40. That slipped out. I hadn't quite made up my mind to admit it.
You've had another fight with Bill, am I right?
Bill's 32. He looks 32. He looked it 5 years ago, and he'll look it 20 years from now. I hate men. Don't worry, Lloyd. I'll play your play. I'll wear rompers and come in rolling a hoop if you like. Now get out of here. Go find your wife.
So nice of you to come upstairs with me, Eve.
I just wanted to be sure you'd find your coat, Mrs. Richards.
Tell me, Eve, how are things going? You happy?
There should be a new word for happiness. Being here with Miss Channing... She's been so wonderful, done so much for me.
Oh, you've done your share too, Eve. Well, good night.
Mrs. Richards.
Karen.
Karen. Isn't it awful? I'm about to ask you for another favor, after all you've done already.
Oh, that's nonsense.
It's just that Miss Channing's affairs are in such good shape now, and I heard that Miss Channing's understudy was going to have a baby, and they'd have to replace her, so I...
You want to be Margot's new understudy.
I don't let myself think about it even. But I do know the part so well and every bit of the staging. But suppose I had to go on one night to an audience that came to see Margot Channing. Oh, no, I couldn't possibly.
Well, I wouldn't worry about that. Margot just doesn't miss performances. If she can walk, crawl, or roll, she plays.
The show must go on.
No, dear. Margot must go on. But as a matter of fact, I don't see why you shouldn't be her understudy.
Do you think she'd approve?
I think she'd cheer.
But Mr. Richards and Mr. Sampson...
Stop worrying. They'll do as they're told.
I seem to be forever thanking you for something, don't I? Good night, Karen.
Good night, dear. So Eve became Margot's understudy. Naturally, I assumed that Margot approved. One afternoon, Margot went to the theater. Someone else was leading the cast, and Margot had consented to help with an audition. A friend of Addison DeWitt's, a Miss Caswell, was trying out the part.
Margot, how nice to see you.
Why aren't you in the theater, Addison, at the side of your protege, lending her moral support?
Oh, but I did. The audition, however, is over.
But it can't be. I came here to read with Miss Caswell.
The audition was called to 2:30. It's now nearly 4.
Is it really? Who read with Miss Caswell? Phil?
No.
Lloyd?
No.
Well, who then?
Naturally enough, your understudy.
Well, I consider it highly unnatural to allow a girl in an advanced state of pregnancy to...
I refer to your new understudy, Miss Eve Harrington.
Eve? My understudy?
Oh, didn't you know?
Well, of course I knew.
I just slipped your mind.
How was Miss Caswell?
Frankly, I don't remember.
Just slipped your mind?
Completely. Nor can anyone else tell you how Miss Caswell read or whether Miss Caswell read or rode a pogo stick.
Was she that bad?
Margot, as you know, I have lived in the theater as a Trappist monk lives in his faith. And once in a great while, I experienced that moment of revelation for which all true believers wait and pray. You were one. Eve Harrington is another.
I take it. She read well.
It was something made of fire and music. Brilliant, vivid, unforgettable.
How nice.
In time, she'll be what you are.
A mass of fire and music. That's me. An old kazoo with some sparklers. Tell me, was Bill swept away too, or were you too full of revelation to notice?
Bill didn't say, but Lloyd was beside himself. He listened to his play as if it had been written by someone else, he said. It sounded so fresh, so new, so full of meaning.
How nice for Lloyd. How nice for Eve. How nice for everyone.
Eve was incredibly modest. She insisted that Lloyd felt as he did only because she read his lines exactly as he'd written them.
The implication being that I have not been reading them as written?
And to the best of my recollection, neither your name nor your performance entered the conversation. May I give you a lift somewhere?
No, thank you, Addison. I'll just run on in so they'll know I did come after all. I must start wearing a watch. I never have, you know.
Well, how are you, darling?
Oh, terribly sorry I'm late, Matt. Lunch was long and I couldn't find a cab. Well, shall we start? Where's Miss Caswell? Oh, hello, Bill. Hello, Lloyd. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Miss Channing.
It's all over, Margot.
What's all over?
The audition. Eve read with Miss Caswell.
Eve? Oh, how enchanting. However, did you get the idea of letting Eve read?
Well, she's your understudy.
Eve? My understudy? I had no idea.
Why, I thought you knew. She was put on over a week ago.
Miss Channing, I can't tell you how glad I am that you arrived so late.
Really, Eve? Why?
If you'd been here to begin with, I never would have dared to read at all. I couldn't have.
What a pity, all that fire and music going to waste.
What fire and music?
You wouldn't understand.
I was dreadful, Miss Channing. Believe me.
Oh, I'm sure you underestimate yourself, Eve. You always do.
Oh, you'd have been proud of her, Margot. Eve was a revelation.
Ah, to you too, Lloyd.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, among other things, it must have been a revelation to have a 24-year-old character played by a 24-year-old actress. Also, it must have seemed so new and fresh to you, so exciting to have your lines read just as you wrote them.
Addison, you've seen Addison.
So full of meaning, fire, and music.
You've been talking to that fishwife, Addison DeWitt.
In this case, apparently as trustworthy as the World Almanac.
You knew when you came in that the audition was over, that Eve was your understudy, playing that childish little game of cat and mouse.
Not mouse. Never mouse. If anything, rat.
This genius of yours for making a barroom brawl out of a perfectly innocent misunderstanding at most.
Perfectly innocent? Men have been hanged for less. I'm lied to, attacked behind my back, accused of reading your silly dialogue inaccurately, as if it were the holy gospel.
I never said it was.
When you listen as if someone else had written your play, whom do you have in mind? Arthur Miller, Sherwood, Beaumont, and Fletcher?
What makes you think either Miller or Sherwood would stand for the nonsense I take from you? You'd better stick to Beaumont and Fletcher. They've been dead for 300 years.
All playwrights should be dead for 300 years.
That would solve none of their problems, because actresses never die. The stars never die and never change.
Oh, you may change this star anytime you want. For a new and fresh and exciting one, fully equipped with fire and music, anytime you want, starting with tonight's performance.
I shall never understand the weird process by which a body with a voice fancies itself as a mind. Just when exactly does an actress decide they're her words she's saying and her thoughts she's expressing?
Usually at the point when she has to rewrite and rethink them to keep the audience from leaving the theater.
It's about time the piano realized it has not written the concerto.
And you, I take it, Bill, are the Paderewski who plays his concerto. On me, the piano. Where is Princess Fire and Music?
Who?
The kid, Junior.
Gone?
Oh, I must have frightened her away.
I wouldn't be surprised. Sometimes you frighten me.
I'm nothing but a body with a voice. No mind.
What a body. What a voice. Now calm down. The gong rang. The fight's over.
I will not calm down.
No, don't calm down.
And I will not be plotted against.
Here we go.
Such nonsense. What do you all take me for? Little Nell from the country. She's been my understudy for over a week. Arrives here for an audition when everyone knows I will be here and gives a performance. Out of nowhere gives a performance.
You've been all through that with Lloyd.
Full of fire and music and whatnot. Carefully rehearsed, I have no doubt. Full of those Bill Sampson touches.
I am sick and tired of these paranoid outbursts. I didn't even know Eve Harrington was your understudy until 2:30 this afternoon.
Tell that to Dr. Freud along with the rest of it.
No, I'll tell it to you. For the last time, I'll tell it to you. I love you. You're a beautiful and an intelligent woman.
A body with a voice.
And a great actress. You have every reason for happiness.
Except happiness.
Every reason.
But due to some uncontrollable, unconscious drive, you permit the slightest action of a kid like... of a kid like Eve to turn you into an hysterical, screaming heart. Now, once and for all, stop it.
Well, it's obvious you're not a woman.
I've been aware of that for some time.
Well, I am.
I'll say. Now, come on, Margot. Let's get out of here. I'll buy you a drink.
I'll admit I may have seen better days, but I'm still not to be had for the price of a cocktail like a salted peanut.
Margot, let's make peace.
Terms are too high. Unconditional surrender.
Just being happy. Just stopping all this nonsense about Eve and Eve and me.
Oh, it's not nonsense. I wish it were.
I said before it was going to be my last try, and I meant it. I can't think of anything else to do. I wish I could. Goodbye, Margot.
Phil, where are you going? To find Eve?
That suddenly makes the whole thing believable.
Phil? Oh, no.
Lord, I don't understand a word you're saying.
Not only was Margot 2 hours late, but then that childish, heavy-handed routine about not knowing Eve was her understudy.
Well, it's just possible that Margot didn't know.
Of course she knew. Edison told her. Karen, somebody's got to stop Margot. Now, who's going to do it? Who's going to give her that boot in the rear she needs and deserves?
It's going to be a very cozy weekend, dear.
What weekend?
We're driving out to the country tomorrow night, Margot, you and I.
Well, we've spent weekends before with nobody talking. Just be sure to lock up all the blunt instruments.
Lloyd was right, of course. That boot Margot had coming to her. Heaven knows she deserved it. But how? How to do it? And then it came to me, my big idea. After all, it would be nothing more than a perfectly harmless joke, which Margot herself would be the first to enjoy, and no reason at all why she herself shouldn't be told about it in time. My big idea required a telephone call. Hello? Will you please call Miss Harrington to the phone? Yes. Miss E. Harrington.
Before we continue with Act Two of All About Eve, I'd like to introduce a special guest, Miss Jean Mayberry. The charming daughter of a friend of mine, the casting director at 20th Century Fox. I understand, Jean, that your career started with ice skating.
That's right, Mr. Keeley. I joined an ice show troupe and traveled all over, even to Cuba.
Well, a generation ago, ice skating in Cuba would have been as fantastic as, well, as an invasion from another planet.
But today, such a possibility isn't so fantastic. 20th Century Fox has even made a picture about it.
Yes, The Day the Earth Stood Still. A very provocative picture. Michael Rennie, as a man from another planet, arrives to warn the Earth that they must maintain peace or be destroyed.
I was fascinated by the huge flying disc that carries him to Earth.
And Patricia Neal was fascinated by Michael. And both Michael and Hugh Marlowe found her fascinating, too.
Well, no wonder. She did look so excitingly lovely in the simple wardrobe she wears in The Day the Earth Stood Still. Those magic white touches on her dress and white blouse are just as smart as can be.
You know, while she was making the picture, they were luxed again and again. New Lux with color freshener just worked miracles, keeping them looking white as new, luxing after luxing. Amazing New Lux, you know, keeps white silks and rayons whiter than ever before. And white cottons, from piqués to organdies, look dazzlingly white without bleaching. Colors stay unbelievably vivid and new-looking.
Oh, I'm a Lux fan from way back, Mr. Kennedy. I was born and raised in Hollywood. So I know how the screen stars love Lux. Patricia Neal says new Lux is even better than ever.
Thank you, Jean Mayberry. We're delighted to have you tonight. Women all over the country are excited about wonderful new Lux. Now they're using it for nicer everyday washables, as well as their loveliest dresses and blouses. It's so safe. The perfect way to give all washables that nicest new Lux look. We pause now for station identification. This is the CBS Radio Network.
curtain rises on Act 3 of All About Eve, starring Betty Davis as Margot, Ann Baxter as Eve, Reginald Gardner as Addison DeWitt, and Gary Merrill as Bill.
After the cold weekend we spent in the country, somehow we staggered through. Late Monday afternoon, my big idea went into operation. Its purpose was to make Margot miss her performance so that Eve would have to take her place. All I did was drain the gas tank of the car. My timing was perfect. Margot missed her train, and we sat there on the highway, the two of us, while Lloyd, cursing softly, went down the road in search of gasoline.
Cigarette card?
No, thanks, dear.
I haven't been very pleasant this weekend.
Well, we've all been a little tense lately.
More than any two people I know, I don't want you and Lloyd to be angry with me.
No, how could we? You're Margot.
And what is that? Besides something spelled out in light bulbs, I mean. Besides something called a temperament, which consists mostly of swooping about on a broomstick and screaming at the top of my voice. Infants behave the way I do, you know. They'd get drunk if they knew how. When they can't get what they want, when they feel unwanted or insecure or unloved.
What about Bill? He's in love with you.
More than anything in this world, I love Bill. And I want him to love me, but me, not Margot Channing. And if I can't tell them apart, how can he? And Karen about Eve, I've acted pretty disgracefully toward her, too.
Well,
at best, let's say I've been oversensitive to, well, to the fact that she's so young, so feminine, and so helpless, to so many things I want to be for Bill.
Margot, I want you to know how sorry I am about this.
About what?
Getting stuck like this, I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Don't give it a thought, Karen. One of destiny's merry pranks. After all, you didn't personally drain the gasoline tank.
What?
I said you didn't personally drain the gasoline tank.
This is Addison DeWitt. It is now my turn to tell you all about Eve. That night, with Margot Channing marooned in the country, Eve Harrington took her place on the stage. Her performance was magnificent, but one thing puzzled me. Why was I invited to that particular performance, a performance about which the management knew nothing until curtain time when Margot failed to appear? Afterwards, I went backstage. Her dressing room door was closed, but I overheard a rather interesting conversation. Eve and Bill Sampson.
You can be very proud of yourself, Eve. That was a wonderful job you did tonight. I'll admit I had my doubts.
You shouldn't have had any doubts.
You're right. With work and patience, you'll be a good actress, if that's what you want to be.
Is that what you want me to be?
Well, I'm talking about you and what you want.
So am I.
Well, what have I got to do with it?
Everything.
The names I've been called, but never Svengali. Good luck, Eve.
Don't go, Bill. Don't run away.
From what would I be running?
You're always after the truth. On stage? What about off?
I'm for it.
Then face it. Ever since that first night here in this theater.
When I told you whatever young actress should know?
When you told me that whatever I became, it would be because of you.
Your makeup's a little heavy.
And for you.
You're quite a girl.
You think?
I'm in love with Margot. Hadn't you heard?
You hear all kinds of things.
I'm only human, rumors to the contrary, and I'm as curious as the next man.
Find out.
One thing. What I go after, I want to go after. I don't want it to come after me. Just score it as an incomplete forward pass.
I waited a reasonable length of time, and then I, too, had a chat with Eve. I wanted to write a column about her. There were many questions to ask.
So kind of you to stop by, Mr. DeWitt. I'm so glad you liked me tonight. But it's still Miss Channing's performance. I'm just the carbon copy you read when you can't find the original.
I've heard much about your modesty, Miss Harrington, but I find it just as false not to blow your horn at all as to blow it too loudly.
One pretty good performance by an understudy. It'll be forgotten tomorrow.
It needn't be.
Why not? I'm a nobody.
I am somebody.
You certainly are.
After you change, if you're not busy, we can have supper.
I'd love to. Or should I pretend I'm busy?
Well, let's have a minimum pretending. I shall want to do a column about you.
I'm not even enough for a paragraph.
I've heard your story, but only in bits. Your home in Wisconsin, your tragic marriage, your fanatical attachment to Margot. It started in San Francisco, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
What theater in San Francisco was that, Eve? Was it the Schubert?
Yes, the Schubert.
A fine old theater, the Schubert, full of dignity and traditions.
Really, if I'm ever going to change, I'll only be a moment, Mr. DeWitt.
Where would you like to go, Eve? We must make this a special night.
You take charge.
Thank you. I believe I will.
Stop saying you can't believe it, Karen. It's right here in print, isn't it? By Addison DeWitt. Listen to this. Miss Harrington had much to tell about the lamentable practice of permitting mature actresses to play roles requiring a youth and vigor of which they retain but a dim memory.
Oh, I still can't believe that Eve would...
About the understandable reluctance on the part of our entrenched first ladies of the stage to encourage younger actresses. About Miss Harrington's own long, unsupported struggle for the opportunity.
Eve couldn't have said anything like that.
What gets me is how all the papers in town just happened to catch that particular performance last night. The little witch must have sent out Indian runners. Well, she won't get away with it. Nor will Addison DeWitt and his poison pen. And don't try to tell me I can't...
I came as soon as I read that piece of film.
Bill, oh, thank goodness.
Bill.
Margot, I ran all the way.
Oh, darling.
Bill, dear baby, everything's all right now.
I guess at this point you and Margot might rather be alone.
Yeah, do you mind, Karen? Margot, baby. Thanks, Karen. We'll phone you later.
That night, Eve and I were having a bit of supper in the cub room when they walked in. Margot, Bill, Lloyd, and Karen. They seemed unusually happy and gay.
The big news is simply this. Margot and I are going to get married.
Glory, hallelujah. Margot, when? When are you going to do it?
We meet at City Hall tomorrow morning at 10.
City Hall? That's for prize fighters and reporters.
It's only for the license. There's a 3-day wait for blood tests.
I'll marry you if it turns out you have no blood at all.
What are you going to wear?
Oh, something simple. A fur coat over a nightgown.
The point is, we want you two beside us as our nearest and dearest friends.
Excuse me, Mrs. Richards?
Oh, yes, lady.
This note is for you. Miss Harrington sent it.
Miss Harrington? Margot, here, you read it.
Please forgive me for butting in, but it's most important that I speak with you. Please, and that's underlined. Meet me in the ladies' room, Eve.
I understand she's now the understudy in there.
After all, maybe Eve just wants to apologize.
Go on, Karen, find out.
During all the years of our friendship, Karen, I have never let you go into the ladies' room alone. Now I must. I am busting to find out what's going on in that feverish little brain waiting in there.
Well, all right.
Thank you for coming, Karen. I just had to speak to you. It's about Mr. DeWitt's column.
Are you going to tell me you didn't really say any of those things?
All I know is that I tried to answer Mr. DeWitt's questions. You try to say what you mean, but somehow the words change. They become his words, and suddenly you're not saying what you mean, but what he means. I just wanted you to know the responsibility is mine, and the disgrace.
Now, let's not get over-dramatic.
You really have a low opinion of me, haven't you? You'll be glad to know I've been told off in no uncertain terms all over town.
Oh, now, Eve, don't cry. After all, you still have a powerful friend in Addison DeWitt.
He's not my friend. You were my friend. I'll never get over this. Never.
Oh, yes, you will. You're very young and very talented. And believe it or not, if there's anything I can do...
There is. Something?
Yes. I think I know.
Something most important you can do.
Lloyd's new play. You want me to tell Lloyd? I think you should play the lead.
If you told him to, he'd give me the part.
He said he would. Don't you know that part was written for Margot?
It might have been 15 years ago. It's my part now.
You've got to tell Lloyd it's for me.
I don't think anything in the world would make me say that.
Addison wants me to play it.
Over my dead body.
That won't be necessary, Karen. Eve, Addison knows how Margot happened to miss that performance last night. And how I happened to know she'd miss it. In time to call him and notify every paper in town.
Oh, you better sit down, Karen. You look a bit wobbly.
If I play Cora, Addison will never tell what happened. In or out of print. A simple exchange of favors. I'm so happy I can do something for you at long last. Your friendship with Margot, your deep, close friendship. What would happen to it, do you think, if she knew the cheap trick you'd played on her for my benefit? No. It'd be so much easier for everyone concerned if I were to play Cora. So much better theater, too.
You'd do all that just for a part in a play.
I'd do much more for a part that good. Excuse me, Karen. Addison's waiting for me.
Careful look at the menu, Eve. But you can't be very hungry after all that humble pie.
Nothing of the kind, Addison. Karen and I had a nice talk.
Including a casual reference to the part of Cora and your hopes of playing it.
I discussed it very openly.
And Karen mentioned, of course, that Margot expects to play the part.
Oddly enough, she didn't say a word about Margot.
You know, Eve, sometimes I think you keep things from me.
I don't think that's funny.
It wasn't meant to be.
I confide in you and rely on you more than anyone I've ever known. To say a thing like that now, without any reason, when I need you more than ever.
I hope you mean what you say. I intend to hold you to it. We have a great deal in common, it seems to me.
You know what I'm talking about? Yes.
Well, what happened, Karen?
Oh, nothing much. She apologized.
With tears.
With tears.
Oh, very classy stuff. Lots of technique. Groom.
Mm-hmm.
May I have a wedding present?
What would you like? Texas?
I want everybody to shut up about Eve. Just shut up about Eve. That's all I want. Never have I been so happy. So happy and forgiving. I forgive Eve. Do you know why I forgive Eve? She left good behind. The four of us here together. It's Eve's fault. I forgive her. And Bill, especially Bill, she did that too.
You know, she probably means well after all.
She's a louse.
Never try to outguess Margot.
Correct. Which brings me to you, Lloyd. Lloyd, I don't want to play Cora.
You what?
Now, wait a minute, Karen. You've always been so touchy about his plays. It isn't the part, it's a great part. But not for me anymore. Not for a four-square, upright, downright, forthright married lady.
What's your being married got to do with it?
Oh, it means I've finally got a life to live. I don't have to play parts I'm too old for anymore, just because I've got nothing to do with my night. Oh, Lloyd, please understand. Please.
What's so funny?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing?
Everything's so funny.
In due time, they were wed, Margot and Bill. Also in due time, rehearsal started for the new play starring Eve Harrington. Finally, the play was ready for its out-of-town opening in New Haven. That afternoon, I saw Eve at her hotel.
Isn't it strange, Addison? I thought I'd be panic-stricken. Instead, I can't wait for tonight to come. To come and go.
Are you sure of tonight?
Aren't you?
Frankly, yes.
It'll bring me everything I've ever wanted. The end of an old road, the beginning of a new one.
All paved with diamonds and gold?
You know me better than that.
Well, paved with what, then?
Stars. What time is it?
Almost four.
Oh, good. Plenty of time for a nice long nap.
You could sleep now, couldn't you?
Why not?
The mark of a true killer. Sleep tight, rest easy, and come out fighting.
Why did you call me a killer?
Oh, did I say killer? I meant champion. I get my boxing terms mixed.
Oh, by the way, there'll be a party here tonight. You'll come, won't you? We're having everyone up after the performance.
We are?
Lloyd and I.
I find it odd that Karen isn't here for the opening, don't you? She's always been so fanatically devoted to Lloyd.
Addison, a few moments ago, I said this would be a night to remember. I didn't mean just the theater.
What else?
Lloyd, he's going to leave Karen. We're going to be married.
So that's it. Still just the theater, after all.
It's nothing of the kind. Lloyd loves me.
I know nothing of Lloyd and his loves. I leave those to Louisa May Alcott. But I do know you.
I'm in love with Lloyd. Oh, Addison, won't it be just perfect? There's no telling how far we can go. You'll write great plays for me. I'll make them great. You're the only one I've told, the only one who knows except Lloyd and me.
And Karen?
She doesn't know.
She knows enough not to be here.
But not all of it. Not that Lloyd and I are going to be married. Well, say something. Anything. Congratulations. Skål. Good work, Eve.
What do you take me for? Is it possible, even conceivable, that you've confused me with that gang of backward children you've played tricks on? That you have the same contempt for me you have for them?
I'm sure you mean something by that, Addison. But I don't know what.
I'm nobody's fool, Eve. Least of all yours.
I never intended you to be.
Yes, you did, and you still do.
I still don't know what you're getting at.
You know it as well as I do, that Lloyd may leave Karen, but he will not leave her for you.
What do you mean by that?
You will not marry Lloyd Richards, or anyone else for that matter, because I will not permit it.
Will not permit it? Well, that sounds medieval, something out of an old melodrama.
So does the history of the world for the past 20 years. Frankly, I had hoped that somehow you would have known, that you would have taken it for granted that you and I...
You and I?
Now, remember, as long as you live, never to laugh at me. At anything or anybody else, but never at me. Now, to begin with, your name is not Eve Harrington. It's Gertrude Slezinski.
Get out.
It's true that you worked in a brewery, but life among the malt and hops was apparently not as dull as you pictured it. In fact, it got less and less dull until your boss's wife had your boss followed by detectives.
She never proved anything. Not a thing.
But the $500 you were paid to get out of town brought you straight to New York, didn't it?
She was a liar. She was a liar.
There was no Eddie, no pilot. You've never been married. That was not only a lie, but it was an insult to dead heroes and to women who loved them. San Francisco has no Schubert Theater. You've never been to San Francisco. That was a stupid lie, not worthy of
you. I had to meet Margot. I had to say something. Be somebody. Make her like me.
And she did like you. She helped you and trusted you. And you paid her back by trying to take Bill away.
That's not true.
After you failed with Bill, you used my name and my column to blackmail Karen into getting you the part of Cora. And you lied to me about it.
No, no.
Sweetie, I had lunch with Karen not 3 hours ago. As always with women, she told me more than she'd learned. That I should want you at all suddenly strikes me as the height of improbability, but that in itself is probably the reason. You're an improbable person, Eve, and so am I. We have that in common. Also, an inability to love, insatiable ambition, and talent. We deserve each other. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Addison.
And you realize and you agree how completely you belong to me?
Yes, Addison.
Then take your nap, and good luck for tonight.
I won't go on tonight. I couldn't. Not possibly I couldn't go on.
You'll give the performance of your life.
I won't. I won't. I can't.
But of course she did go on. And ever since, her triumph has endured. And that is why she's here tonight, here at the Sarah Siddons Society. Eve is now on the dais, so gracious and modest, telling the distinguished guests that the award belongs not to her, but to those who made it possible. Margot and Karen, Bill and Lloyd. Let's listen in.
Without their kindness and friendship and faith and confidence in me, this night could never have been. How can I ever repay them? Although I'm going to Hollywood next week, do not think for a moment that I'm leaving you. My heart is here in the theater. I'll be back to claim it. And soon. That is, if you want me back.
Congratulations, Eve.
Thank you, Karen. Nice speech, Eve. Thank you, Margot.
I wouldn't worry too much about your heart, Eve. That little statue they gave you, you can always put it where your heart ought to be.
Oh, Mr. DeWitt.
Why, Miss Caswell, how nice to see you again.
Isn't she wonderful, Mr. DeWitt?
There's no one like Eve, Miss Caswell. No one in the world. Tell me, Miss Caswell, do you want someday to have an award like that of your own?
Oh, more than anything.
Then you must ask Eve Harrington how to get one. Miss Harrington knows all about it.
We hope you enjoyed our show as much as our stars enjoyed doing it for you. In just a moment, Mr. Keeley will return to the footlights with them and give you a preview of next week's show. Of course, you know what a reputation screen stars have for beautiful clothes. Well, you can give your washables the very same care the stars insist on for their own gorgeous things. It's New Lux with Color Freshener, the most wonderful improvement ever made in a wonderful product. Don't take my word for it. Try it yourself, and you'll agree you've never seen anything like the magic it works on colors. It actually keeps white things white as new, makes colors sparkle like jewels, and keeps your prints sharp and brilliantly clear. No other soap, no other type of suds is safer for your nice things. Your washable silks, rayons, nylons, and fine cottons. Once you've tried New Lux with Color Freshener, you'll never again put up with anything else. Get a big box of New Lux with Color Freshener tomorrow. Use it for all your washables. You'll be thrilled with their nicest new Lux look. Now, here's Mr. Keeley with our stars.
And here they are, an outstanding cast to take a bow for outstanding performances. Betty Davis, Ann Baxter, Reginald Gardner, and Gary Merrill. Very nice to have you back again.
Bill, you know how I love appearing on the Lux Radio Theater. That's one way to get some more Lux flakes, Ann.
Betty, when you have a new baby, you need all the Lux you can get.
Watch this girl. Remember, as Eve, she'll want all our Lux flakes in a minute.
Now, girls, the play is over, and there's plenty in the wings for all.
We thank you, Bill. Lux flakes really are a must in our house.
All this talk of a new baby. Why didn't anyone ask me to be a godfather?
Do you think you're quite the type? After listening to you for the last hour, I thought you relished little children as part of your diet.
Well, don't be silly, darling. I just finished a picture of 20th Century Fox starring Clifton Webb called Elopement, in which I play a godfather. Now I'm at RKO in Androcles and the Lion.
Typecasting again.
I do not play the lion, nor do I eat anyone.
Now let me tell you about my latest picture at 20th Century Fox, Decision Before Dawn, starring Richard Basehart.
Do you play Decision or Dawn?
Oh. As a matter of fact, I play a colonel in the army. But as it's all about spies and traitors, I refuse to reveal any more.
Well, then perhaps Bill will reveal next Monday's show for us.
Yes, next week we'll have an exciting story of mystery and intrigue. It's Universal International's thrilling drama, Borderline. And starring will be Stephen McNally, Claire Trevor, and John Hodiak.
That'll be good listening, Bill. Good night.
Good night,
good
Bill.
Night, night.
Good night. Congratulations again for the Academy Award winner tonight.
Hurry, hurry, and I mean you. Yes, if you've been dreaming of winning that wonderful first prize in the Who is the Lovely Lux Girl contest, then hurry your entry in now. Remember, the first prize is $5,000 cash plus a Ford Victoria sedan. Besides the top prize Lux is giving away, 10 more Ford two-door sedans. 214-carat gold diamond Bulova watches. $10,000 in additional cash prizes. Get your entry blank at your grocer's. It has the star's picture to identify, the jingle to complete, the rules, the address. To each entry, attach two Lux soap wrappers, either bath or regular size. But hurry your entry in. The contest closes October 15th, and good luck.
Join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Borderline, starring Stephen McNally, Claire Trevor, and John Hodiak. This is William Keeley bidding you good night.
This year, the United Red Feather campaigns for the community chest must raise additional funds because of the defense emergency. So let's give the United Way. Ann Baxter appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, who will soon release The Desert Fox, starring James Mason. Heard in our cast tonight were Paula Winslow as Karen, Stephen Dunn as Lloyd, Ruth Parrott as Bertie, and Barbara Fuller, Joe Forte, and Eddie Marr. Our play was adapted by S.H. Barnett, and our music was directed by Rudy Schrager. This is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear Borderline, starring Stephen McNally, Claire Trevor, and John Hodiak. This is the CBS Radio Network.